Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Very nice to sing bhajans, and very nice to sing new bhajans, and very nice to sing new bhajans on festival days, and very nice to sing new bhajans on festival days in the assembly of devotees of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. When Janavi selected those two bhajans, I foolishly said, that's a lot of verses. Do you think the devotees will sing all of them? And it's a lot to learn, but I'm amazed. Look, I was very nervous about giving this class because it's a festival day and you're all very experienced and old devotees and you know many things. And on these festival days, one is expected, almost socially obligated, to speak a lot of Sanskrit and a lot of Bengali. Well, that's about as much Bengali as we're going to have today. And if you're very, very lucky, we might even get a couple of Sanskrit verses. You know, what I wanted to talk to you about today, really, on this day of all days, this is our day. There are many people who worship Krishna. There are many people who worship Ram. There's many people who know the Vedas and they read Mahabharata, know the Ramayana. There's even many people who read the Puranas. Some even read the Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam. But only our group, we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His most compassionate form. So this is our day, today. It's His day, but because it's His day, it's also our day. And our day means that we remember that we have been saved by the compassion of God who chose to descend in His most full and gracious form. In 1974, they say if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there. So the 70s, I can remember. But in 1974, I was sitting in a field with a plastic sheet over my head, as young men used to do at that time. It was called a rock festival. You had to sit on the grass with a plastic sheet over your head, and the rain was coming down. And it was pretty miserable and cold. And then someone came to me with a plate of semolina, hot semolina, with a few golden raisins in it. And they said, would you like to come to our tent? We're doing kirtan. I said, kirtan? What's that? I shouldn't have asked. I could have had a nice life. I could have had a nice car, nice house, good career. Okay? Instead, I spent the last 40 years wandering around in a bedsheet with clay on my face. Don't ask that question. What's kirtan? Because as soon as you ask kirtan, what does Rupa Goswami said? He even gives the warning himself. Don't bother. If you want a nice life, don't go to the kirtan. Don't go and see Krishna. Krishna is present in the kirtan. The devotees were acting not in their own capacity, but of course they were acting as representatives of Srila Prabhupada, who was a representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His compassion. I remember one of the best kirtans that I was ever in. Well, of course, the best one was being in the tent with the rain coming down with the devotees playing tambourines, and I was thinking, this is wonderful. This is something completely new. I think all of us remember the first time that we ever met the devotees and they said, would you like to come and join us for kirtan? It's a very treasured memory because that changes our life at that point. I would like to thank Tribhuvanath Das for being that person who came out into the rain and gave me that hot plate of semolina. It's the only dish in the Hare Krishna cookbook that you don't need a recipe for. says, hot milk, semolina, give it a stir, throw in a few raisins, and off you go. But it was the nicest dish because it was the nicest outreach of compassion that I had ever received. Forward a few years, and I'm going to India for the very first time. I'm going to see the land of Navadvip for the very first time. The land of Navadvip that this morning, just a few hours ago, was resounding with thousands and thousands of devotees glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even as we speak, even as we sit here and we look around the temple room and we think, that's a good crowd for this morning. You should understand how many people are going to be turning up at the Mayapur Chandradori Mandir this afternoon. You know, this is not Ajay Kumar or Pravin type stuff, or Ravin rather. This is real Olympic stuff. There's a million people turning up this afternoon. 1 million people will be there in Navadvip. And they all want to have darshan of the biggest deities in the area. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. So in those days, it was just a rice field with a long building and a short building. And what had happened was that devotees had booked tickets way in advance on a jumbo 747. And the jumbo jet had set off from Los Angeles with a lot of devotees on board, stopped in New York, picked up a lot of devotees, stopped in London, and by the time I got on board in London, I got onto this, you know, it was, I think it was my first trip to India, my first on a jumbo jet, it might have been my first flight. I was from Cornwall, I hadn't seen the world. I came here when I was 17, and here I was off to go and see Prabhupada in India. How wonderful. Going to see Gaur Panim for the first time. So I got on the plane, and you know how you look down the plane and there's like acres of tourists and different people. In this particular plane, every single person was a devotee. Every single person is a devotee. As far as I could see, shaven heads on one side of the plane, saris on the other side of the plane. It's easy for men, isn't it? Men, uncover your head. Ladies, cover your head. At least in those days. So then we came to Frankfurt. We picked up more European devotees. And I asked one of the cabin crew, I said, how many Hare Krishnas are there on board this airplane? And she said, well, we have 535 seats. She said, there's 532 Hare Krishnas. I know we only have 3 normal passengers. So we were flying over, where were we flying? I don't know, Romania or something like that. And someone said, it's time for Mangal Aarti. And so someone from Chicago, they had a little neat little kirtan group from Chicago. They'd learned a few, you know, in those days, there was no amalas or funky beats. But a few people from Chicago, you know, they'd been to India, you know, been on a visit, and they'd whoop, whoop, whoop. And of course, we were fascinated. You know, what are these people? They know how to whoop, whoop, whoop. And there was a few of the big wampers and lots of cartels. Pretty soon, the whole plane was standing up. That's what you do for Mangal Aarti. You stand up. In those days, no sit-down kirtans. It's all standing up. So here we are on a Jumbo 47 going over Romania. And at least 100 devotees were running from the back of the plane, down the aisles, to the front of the plane, and then back down again. It's what you do, Mangal Aarti. And suddenly we hear this voice from the captain, could you all sit down, please? You're rocking the plane. Yes! And I got to India. And again, it was a kirtan. What a wonderful thing to be in Calcutta Airport. We were the first airplane to arrive. We were the first Jumbo 747 to arrive in Calcutta Airport. The mayor had turned out with a marching band. Little did they know that when the door opened and the passengers got out, what would greet them? Hundreds of white guys dressed in traditional Bengali clothing. They had no idea who was coming off the plane. And lots of ladies in saris, and their mouths were just hanging open. And you know these little oompa bands that people, they hardly had enough puff to play their musical instruments. So we had Mangalarti again inside Calcutta Airport. And at this time, devotees had brought, you know, 400 or 500 bright orange marigold flower garlands. And I thought, this is good. We're having kirtan on the plane, we're having kirtan in the airport. And then, little did I know that when we got to the temple, how wonderful the kirtans had been. For three, four years, I'd never been in a kirtan with more than, 30 people. So here I was for the very first time in a kirtan with 1,000 people from all over the world. And I just looked around and I thought, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is going all over the world. And I'd never realized that before. And we came out and we were going to go to Lord Chaitanya's birthplace at Yogapitam. And so we went. And halfway along the road, you know, we were, you know, stonking kirtan. And we saw a kirtan party coming towards us from the other direction. And they had in front of them two golden, life-size, neemwood deities of Chaitanya and Nityananda. I can't tell you what that was like. It was like India, Gopinim, Navadvip, going to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and here he is, coming to see us. And everybody felt the same way. And everybody just fell on the floor. Amazing the price of carrots in Tesco's these days, isn't it? And everybody was sobbing, everybody was crying, everybody was, they'd come after all their austerities, they were there on the day and the Lord had come to greet them. Absolutely wonderful. Oh, Prabhupada came to the manor in 1977, here in this very room. The embodiment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion came to this room and he sat right there in 1977. His body racked in pain. Sometimes we like to think that Prabhupada was floating above everything. That's not quite the story. A devotee can transcend, but that doesn't mean that there's no experience. And it took me about 20 years to understand just what a physical exertion that must have been for Prabhupada to do that. And to, you know, to be with his disciples again, you know, for the last time. So my reflection this morning is that all my life I've been on the receiving end of an incredible amount of compassion and kindness from other people. To have that preserved is to preserve the very essence of the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Compassion means when you feel for the suffering of others. Mercy means when you do something about it. It's all very well to see another's suffering, but mercy is when you extend yourself and you give yourself, you give your time, you give your effort, you transcend your difficulties, your lack of comfort. And for our movement to really be the embodiment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, each and every one of us must firstly embrace the compassion and kindness and mercy that's been given to you, understand and truly express our gratitude for that from whoever it came, and then try to extend ourselves to others. So the difference between a spiritual mission and a religious organization is that a spiritual mission extends itself to new persons, and a religious organization remains practicing the rituals and ceremonies and the words and the language, but may not extend itself to others. There's a difference between religion and a mission. We have a mission. Prabhupada gave the example. He said that there is a turtle in the ocean. The turtle is swimming like this, down to the bottom, up to the top, down to the bottom, up to the top. He said, from down to the bottom and up to the top takes 1,000 years. More than 1,000 years. It's a very special turtle. And he gets to the surface. He said, this is the living entity. Down, down into the ocean of the material world. Up, up, up through the different species of life. Till he reaches the top. Human form of life. And he has a very, very small chance. What is that chance? He said, on the surface of the water, there is a plank of wood with a hole in it. The hole is just big enough for the turtle's head to go through. What is the possibility that the turtle going down to the bottom for 1,000 years and coming up back to the top, and there's one piece of wood floating on the surface, what is the possibility that the turtle will poke his head through that piece of wood and be carried along? He said, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Very, very rare opportunity to receive the perfection of human life and to hold on to it. You see, because true compassion, when it is contained, sustains. It sustains for a very long time. I'll tell you about another kirtan. I was with Shivaram Swami, Jayadvaita Swami, and a few others, well, about 300 others, actually, in Andhra Pradesh. It was 1986, and of course, ISKCON was celebrating the 500th appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so the Pariyatra had been going all the way down and all the way back up, not like the turtle, but in victory everywhere they went. And they were coming up through the southern Indian state of Andhra Pradesh. Andhra Pradesh includes Kurukshetra, Srikakulam, Vizianagaram, Vishakhapatnam, and Simhachalam. Very famous places. So we were walking. Every day, walking, you know, 10, 12, 18 miles a day. We had an elephant. And every night I used to take the coat off the elephant, fold it, and go to sleep on it. That was my bed. Lakshmi the elephant. Don't mess with Lakshmi. One of the brahmacharis tried to mess with her. And he just didn't understand that you don't mess with elephants. And one time she just picked him up bodily, placed him very gently, very, very gently on the tarmac in the middle of the road, in the middle of the highway, stood on his chest for 20 minutes. Very, very gently, no pressure, and all kinds of leaks became manifest in the body of this brahmachari. And then after 20 minutes, she took her very gentle leg off and just carried on walking, leaving him a quivering mess in the middle of the road. We learn lessons in life. Some of those lessons we learn from elephants. Some of them we learn from devotees of the Lord. But one day, excuse the digression, one day we saw a kirtan. We were passing through many, many villages. And of course, being the south of India, you know, you don't expect to see a Hare Krishna, Hare Rama kirtan, Maha Mantra kirtan. But they were playing with their local village drums and their little, you know, different types of musical instruments. You know, drums twice as big as a coal. Boom, boom, boom. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. And we thought, well, maybe this is a branch of the Gaudiya Mission or the Gaudiya Mutt. And when we entered the village, all the villagers had come to the village had one street and it was off the main highway. All the villagers had come to receive us with drinks and flower petals. And we thought, this is nice. This is wonderful. You know, who has trained these people in the art of Hare Krishna Kirtan? Gaudiya Mutt? No. Gaudiya Mission? No. ISKCON? No. Well, how do you know? Oh, we always do this. So how often do you do this? Well, every morning. Well, every morning? Yes. Every morning before breakfast, the men of the village assemble in the village square and they do kirtan up to one end of the village, back down to the other end, and back to the village square. And the ladies are on the doorsteps waving and cheering. I said, every morning you're doing this? I said, but who taught you to do this? So we've always done it. So I said, can you find the oldest person in the village who may know when this began? And the oldest man, who was 92, he was brought forward. And we asked him through an interpreter, how did this come about? He said, oh. He said, it must have been about 500 years ago. There was a great saint came here on his way south. And he told us, he told everybody in this village to do this. So every day since then, we've done it. And I wondered, who was that great saint? There's only one great saint who went south 500 years ago who was teaching the Maha Mantra. There are so many mantras to teach. So many gurus have come and gone. But in this village, they preserved kirtan all that time in Andhra Pradesh. Remarkable. To preserve something means that the fathers have to teach the children. To preserve something, you have to set up institutions, usually institutions of learning, where the teachers teach the children. Fathers and mothers teach their kids. The seniors teach the juniors. We are at a crossover point now in our Krishna consciousness movement where we have seniors passing away. Practically on Facebook every day, you will see pictures, such and such, disciple of Prabhupada, on his last breath, followed by 3 days later, such and such Mataji in Vrindavan passing away, another devotee in Mayapur passing away. From now on, until all you young people are old, it won't stop. It won't stop. Until every last Prabhupada disciple has passed away. Then the legacy will be yours. The legacy will be yours to continue. What you continue has a lot to do with what you have learned and what you've understood to be valuable. Now, for compassion, compassion is something very, very rare, actually. It's enough to understand religious rules and regulations. Everybody knows the rules. And we can all chew each other about rules and not following rules and which rules are right and which rituals are the best. We can do that. We can also hurt each other a lot. But compassion within a community, within a society, within a movement, takes some time to develop. We can all understand Krishna, but it takes time to understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everybody knows Bhagavad Gita. Some people even know Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam. But it takes time to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita. It takes time to understand. It takes time to understand that the same person who spoke Bhagavad Gita there on that battlefield of Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago, that very same person came just a few years ago. It takes time to appreciate that. So these two things, understanding the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understanding the need for compassion. When compassion and mercy vanish from a religious group, then everything vanishes. Everything vanishes. You just get left with a list of names and a list of rules. But if it can be developed through one lifetime and passed on to whoever is nearest and dearest to you, then you've preserved the very essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. I have a friend, Amita. Many people know Amita. And he was doing some business in India. He imports lots of books from India, but he was in Assam. And at the end of one day, he was being driven in a jeep through, along a highway. And he was passing by many villages in Assam. And he saw that every village had some sort of pavilion made of corrugated metal roof with pillars and a plinth in the middle of the village. So he was thinking, maybe this is a village square, some political thing, maybe it's a school. And then as the hour was progressing, he saw that people were leaving the fields and they were coming and assembling. So with each village, as the village was passing by in a speeding car, he saw a different snapshot, of the progress. Until eventually he saw that everybody in every village had assembled in this place, and they'd taken out drums, and they'd taken out cymbals, and they were chanting. They were chanting. And they were singing Maha Mantra, because he stopped for a while and he joined in. This was taken there in the 1600s. Now, Assam is, it's right round the back of Bangladesh. But to go there, what was his name? Shankardev went on a very long journey in the 1600s. And he initiated, we think, 240,000 people. He was initiating like anything. But from that, so many millions of people are believers in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just 400 years later. How many Chaitanya Vaishnavas are there in the world, would you say? How many would you say? Of course, we think of ISKCON, and of course, if someone says to you, how many devotees are there in ISKCON, no one knows. We don't know. We don't know. Judging by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's definition of a person who chants the holy name once, but certainly someone who chants and at the same time worships Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I asked an Oxford professor, and he said between 30 to 50 million people. Between 30 to 50 million people. And it all began in the home of Srivas Thakur. 30 to 50 million people. Now, give us a few hundred years, and we will also be showing figures like that. But what requires for that to happen, and that's a wonderful legacy to leave for the world, because if you're the person who gave the chanting of Hare Krishna to someone else, and they give it to someone else, you score points on whoever. It's like a pyramid marketing. You score points. Okay, Madhava? You score points for everyone that you get to buy the product. Okay? You become the upline of hundreds of people. And they become the upline of thousands of people. There's no money involved, but there is compassion, it being extended, and there is faith coming back. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said one very important thing. He said that, of course, our movement took birth under... It was very interesting. There's something that we don't often think about, but our movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, took birth under the restrictions of Sharia law. Means that when you try and chant, people come and try and stop you because it's the wrong religion. That is why Haridas Thakur, who had changed from being a Muslim birth, why he was going to be whipped to death in the marketplace. This is nothing new. People are very shocked. Oh, what's going on? It's nothing new. He was, his back, from his neck down to his lower back here, was completely red raw. He was being thrashed by two soldiers with sugar cane, and they wanted to kill him as an apostate, and they tried to kill him in one marketplace. That's why we say Haridas Thakur was whipped in 22 marketplaces. Well, why 22? Is there some sort of special religious significance? You know, no, they were trying to kill him in the marketplace, but they couldn't, so they took him to another marketplace and whipped him again and again and again and again, 22 places. That's why the Chankazis sent people to break the drums of the Vaishnavas. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out with 100,000 people by torchlight. And eventually, first of all, you know what the first thing they did? Chaitanya Bhagavat describes this, that the first thing that the Vaishnavas did was roll their sleeves up, roll their kurta sleeves up, and say, well, we'll teach the Chankazi a thing or two. And they started pulling up the Chankazi's garden. They started trashing his house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, that's not the way. We're Vaishnavas. That's not the way we do it. It's philosophy. Okay? Now, where have you ever seen that as a solution to today's inter-religious tension? Okay? Here come the Americans. They're bringing out their philosophers. They're sending in the philosophers from Harvard, from Princeton. They're really going to deal with it. But that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He sat on the doorstep and he discussed the Quran. Now, in some parts of the world, in some places where I give class by Skype, where Krishna consciousness is still quite secret, we have one devotee, two devotees now, who are sons of mullahs. They are sons of imams. And from a very, very early age, they have learned the Quran and the hadith, and the surah. And they have then become Krishna conscious, and they've learned Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And when they open their mouth, you take your pick. Which scripture? Take your pick. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we can engage with everyone, even according to their own scripture. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a great, great philosopher. So there's compassion. But he said, Pancha, help me out if you know this verse, Pancha Dashe Ghari, that 5 or 10 of you should sit on your doorsteps and do kirtan. That way no one can complain. 5 or 10 of you can sit on your doorstep and do kirtan. And in this way we can proliferate many, many small groups. Now, here comes the science part. According to the latest research from the American Psychological Association and many, many social anthropologists, the best way to start a mass movement and to sustain a mass movement is by making that mass movement a network of small groups. A network of small groups. Because nobody loves an organization. Nobody loves an institution. You know what we love? We love the guru, and we love our friends. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, get together with your friends and have kirtan. And if you do that, that was his message, if you do that, 500 years later, whether it's Andhra Pradesh or Wembley, you'll be having a kirtan that's going on for half a millennium. Now that's a remarkable, remarkable thing. An amazing thing. But as we are concerned in this transitional point between Prabhupada and his followers, and Prabhupada's disciples and their followers, and their followers and their followers, in order to keep things fresh and pure, we need to help each other, to support each other, to learn the philosophy in detail, to study Prabhupada's teachings in detail, but to give what we have received, and to give it with compassion, to give it with love, and to be emblems of mercy, as was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that is why we are here. None of us would be sitting here. I would not be sitting here. I'd still be in a field somewhere with a plastic sheet over my head in the rain. And I'd have a few less teeth and a long, long life to look back on, which could have been a lot happier. Today, I'll be singing like a madman down Oxford Street without police permission. How do we do that? That's the Hare Krishnas. That's the Hare Krishnas. That's what they do. It's Oxford Street. It's their street. You know, yeah, they pull a wagon. It's decorated. Yeah, there's 200 of them. Do they have permission? No, no, no. Previously, 5 of us went out, and every single one of us would be arrested. Now, 300 go out, and everybody goes, yeah, it's the Hare Krishnas. They sort of own Oxford Street, really. They've been here since I was a boy. I went on a protest march to try and help the manor, and there was 127 policemen and, 6,000 devotees all sitting on the street. So I sat down, as you do, and a policeman ran towards me. Metropolitan police officer, his helmet, ran towards me. And you know what he said? I thought he was going to arrest me. I get used to it, you see. I was well trained in the early Hare Krishna movement. You see dark blue and chrome buttons, you run. So he's running towards me, and I'm thinking, it's time for me to run. And he goes, Creeper Moya! Creeper Moya! And I say, who are you? He said, it's me! It's me! I said, well, you're a policeman, yeah. But he said, it's me, Alan! I said, Alan who? Alan Miles, do you remember me? I was on the back to course. And as I do, yeah. Yeah, I remember you. You were the one that was really intelligent, weren't you? So as we proliferate, as one devotee chooses to share Krishna consciousness with another 2, another 3, another 4, another 5, people will take to Krishna consciousness in a very wonderful way. People will stop thinking that you have to wear a bed sheet in order to be a devotee, and they will understand the actual truth. The real truth is that you have to be extremely intelligent, very clean, very religious, very principled, very moral, and you have to be a very good person to take to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So, my dear friends, I'm almost out of time. I've had no time for Sanskrit. I've got sheets and sheets of Sanskrit, but I don't know. You know, maybe I should just, for the people who will criticize me afterwards, and there's always one, I just want to go to what Karabhajana Rishi said. If you haven't read the 11th canto, please read it. In Maharashtra, the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is like the Bible. Kids learn it in school, people say it at funerals and weddings, the 11th canto. Krishna says so much. He's got a short time with Arjuna, but when he's with Uddhava, he says so many things, because he wants to leave his final instructions on planet Earth. So he tells, there's a story, there's Karabhajana Rishi, and he says the following. This is where I get my Sanskrit points. Dwapare Bhagavan Shyama Pitavasa Nijayudha Srivatsadi Birankaischa Lakshanaya Rupalakshita. In the Dwarpa Yuga. So you've all phased out now, I can tell. I can see your eyes. Don't do Sanskrit. They tell me every time. He is dressed in yellow. He appears in a blackish hue. He holds his own weapons. Could you get ready with the violin, please? And he is decorated with a Kaustubha jewel and marks of Srivatsa. This is how his symptoms are described. So then he gives another verse, and then he says the great verse that we all know. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parashadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Okay? By my watch here. So then, Jiva Goswami has a very nice commentary on that. And I'll skip that commentary, but he backs that up, and it's very nice. So I'm just going to read, for the pleasure of your heart, this appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? Can we have another microphone over there, please? Okay? Okay. In the month of January, in the year 1485, Lord Krishna entered the bodies of both Jagannath Mishra and Sachi. Jagannath Mishra said to Sachi, "I see wonderful things. Your body is effulgent, and it appears as if the goddess of fortune were now staying personally in my home. Anywhere and everywhere I go, all people offer me due respect. Even without my asking, they voluntarily give me riches, clothing, and rice." She told her husband, "I see wonderfully brilliant human beings appearing in outer space, as if offering prayers." Jagannath Mishra then replied, "In a dream I saw the effulgent abode of the Lord enter my heart. From my heart it entered your heart. I therefore understand that a great personality will soon take birth." After this conversation, both husband and wife were very jubilant, and together they rendered service to the household Shalagram Shila. In this way, the pregnancy approached its 13th month, but still there was no sign of the delivery of the child. Thus Jagannath Mishra became greatly apprehensive. Nilambar Chakravarti, the grandfather of Chaitanya, did a calculation and said that in that very month, taking advantage of an auspicious moment, the child would take birth. Thus, in the year 1486, in the month of Falguna, February-March, in the evening of the full moon day, the desired auspicious moment appeared. The moon was in Leo. Leo was the ascendant. Several planets were strongly positioned, and the Shadvarga and Ashtavarga showed all auspicious influences. When the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on its body? Considering this, Rahu, the great black planet, covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna,
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 Hare,
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 Hare.
All people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, in the form of Gaurahari, advented himself on the earth. The whole world was pleased. While the Hindus chanted the holy name of the Lord, the non-Hindus, especially the Muslims, jokingly imitated the words. While all the ladies vibrated the holy name of Hari on earth, in the heavenly planets, dancing and music were going on, for the demigods were very curious. In this atmosphere, all the 10 directions became jubilant, as did the waves of the rivers. Moreover, all beings, moving and non-moving, were overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. Thus, by his causeless mercy, the full moon Gaurahari rose in the district of Nodia, which is compared to Udayagiri, where the sun first becomes visible. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. And may that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is like the sun rising over the horizon, the dear son of Sachi and Jagannath Misha, be with you this day, dwell in your heart, and extend his compassionate blessings to you all forever. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, the great carrier of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Sankirtana Ki Jai.